It's a riddle I made up a few years ago. It's a three-part riddle with three questions. The first question is, we want to know who is the greatest devotee of Krishna. Second question is, what service is it that that devotee does that makes that devotee the best devotee? And that should be such a clear thing that we all say, yes, that definitely makes that person the best devotee. And the third question is, what's the best proof of number one and two? And I'll give you a good hint. This is the most simple, elementary question you could possibly imagine in Krishna consciousness. So I'm very curious, Prabhuji, who's the best devotee?
Prahlad Maharaj.
Who? Prahlad Maharaj. Okay. Srimati Radharani. Okay. Is everybody, what are you going to say, Supriya? Prabhupada's the best devotee. Okay. But Prabhupada himself, I think he would agree that Prahlad Maharaj is a greater devotee. But Prahlad Maharaj, he would say that Radharani is a greater devotee. I think we'd have to agree, isn't it? That Radharani is the best devotee. That's a pretty elemental understanding in Krishna consciousness. But if we're going to just say that, someone may challenge, how can you say that Radharani is the best devotee? What service does she do? She has so many services. What service does she do that makes her the best devotee? That's a nice answer. She tries to engage everyone in Krishna's service. But my temple commander does the same thing also. He's also working very hard trying to engage everybody in Krishna's service. So does that mean that he's as good a devotee as Radharani? No, we don't accept that. So is there anything else?
She gives pleasure to Krishna.
She gives pleasure to Krishna. Now we're getting a little warmer, I would say. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes this thing in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says that A Prema Dvari Nityaradi Kare Kali Amara Madhurdamita Ashwadesa Kali. Only Radhika completely relishes Krishna. She does so many things. She gives pleasure to Krishna, but I think so many devotees give pleasure to Krishna. But the quality, and some people sometimes we ask this question, they say, Radhika offers tambu. And some people have said she preaches or she distributes books. Somebody was saying like that. She cooks for Krishna. But so many people cook for Krishna, so many people offer tambu and this and that. What special quality is it? The special quality is that Radharani relishes. She relishes Krishna more than anyone else. Now, if we're going to say these two things, then we want to know what's the best proof, the number one and number two.
Krishna tries to do anything to please Radharani.
Krishna tries to do anything to please Radharani. It's okay, but that's a little bit vague. Yes. That's the best proof. Can anyone argue with that? These three things are very... He said the best proof is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Radharani is the best devotee. These are very elemental principles. And what is the best thing that she does for Krishna? She relishes. And what is the best proof of that? The best proof is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore Krishna describes about Radhika... Adbhuta ananta purna bora madhuri ma tu jagate akeha nahi paya sima. He says that my sweetness, my madhuri, is adbhuta and ananta. It's astonishing and it's unlimited. It's purna. It's infinite and it's full. No one in all the three worlds can find the limit to my sweetness. Krishna says like this. Only Radhika by the strength of her love, completely tastes the nectar of my sweetness. Hmm? Only Radhika can do that. And that's why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes, which we spoke about on the very first day, when we tried to speak about who is Rupa Goswami. If we're going to speak about who is Rupa Goswami, we had to say something about who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why is Rupa Goswami so special? He's Chaitanya Mano Abhishta, Stapitam Jena Bhutale. He's establishing the mission of Mahaprabhu, the innermost desire of Mahaprabhu. So who is Mahaprabhu? He's Krishna. Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kiddiso Vanayaiva Swadyo Inibhuta Madhurima Kiddiso Vamadiyaha Sokyam Chashyamana Nabhavada Kiddisam Vitilobhata Bhavaja Samajani Sachigarbha Sindhu Harindu. He came for three desires. The second of which is Sokyam Chashyamana Nabhavada Kiddisam. He wanted to know what is it that Radharani is tasting. Krishna's a very greedy fellow. Really. Huh? He's very, very eager. He's Rasika Sekhar. He wants to relish the most. And he sees he's been defeated. Radharani is relishing more than he is. So he wants to taste that thing. That is the nature of Krishna Prem. It's such a very, very wonderful thing that even Krishna himself wants to come and taste it. It's described by Rupa Goswami that on one occasion, while Krishna was in Dwarka, he was feeling a little separation from Vrindavan. So Narad Muni came. Narad Muni is a great devotee. He understood the mind of the Lord. So he organized a drama there in Dwarka about Braj Leela. And Krishna was sitting there on the stage, with the son of Sundapani Muni, because he rescued him from the clutches of Yamaraj. Does anybody know who the son of Sundapani Muni is? Madhumangal. He's sitting here with Madhumangal next to him, watching this drama. And then, at a certain point in the drama, there's an actor who came on stage playing the part of Krishna. And Rupa Goswami describes how Krishna is sitting and he's watching someone play himself. And here's what Krishna had to say. When Krishna saw this, when he saw that actor playing himself, Krishna's hair stood on end. He became ecstatic. And Krishna turned to Madhumangal and he said, "My dear friend, this dramatic actor appears like a second form of my own self. Like a picture, he displays my pastimes as a cowherd boy, overflowing with wonderfully attractive sweetness and fragrance, which is so dear to the damsels of Braj. When I see such a display, my heart becomes greatly excited. I long for such pastimes and desire a form exactly like the damsels of Braj." When Krishna sees that form of himself, and he becomes so excited and so desirous. There's so much rasa, there's so much mellow in Krishna's form, pastimes. It's described that there's one devotee from Orissa. His name was Siddha Krishnadas Baba of Govardhan. He published many books, and he was the first Gaudiya Vaishnava, he lived a few hundred years ago, to describe the Asakala Leela, the Eightfold Pastimes of Radha Krishna, also in connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a very nice way. And he was considered to be a very great Siddha Mahatma. Different devotees were coming to him. And he was speaking to them about this process of smarana, a meditation on the form of the Lord. We don't practice that kind of bhajan. It doesn't mean that we're something less. We're lower class devotees, they're higher class or something. All that we've got is the holy name. But that's all that we need. Huh? The holy name is everything. Name prasutita hoy rupa guna karma. From the holy name, that's why Rupa Goswami is giving this verse. He said, we have no taste for Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's funny. But if we chant the name of Krishna, then everything will come. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this in Harinam Chintamani. Name prasutita, nam means a name. Prasutita means blossom, like a flower blossoms. Name prasutita hoy rupa guna karma. From the holy name come the form, the qualities, and the activities or pastimes. And Bhaktivinoda, this can be translated in two different ways. One is that you'll understand your rupa guna karma. What is your form in the spiritual world? What are your qualities? What is the service that you do? What are the activities there? And the other is, as he speaks about directly in Harinam Chintamani, that you'll see, you first you'll understand Krishna's rupa, you'll see that. Then you'll appreciate his qualities. And then you'll appreciate his pastimes. And all those things come from the holy name. So this Baba, he had a different bhajan pranali. We have our bhajan pranali from our Gurudev. And we're very fortunate because Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam. The holy name gives everything. It doesn't say Smaranam, Smaranam, Smaranam Eva Kevalam. But Harinama, the holy name gives everything. But he was teaching people in this system. It's also a system done by some Vaishnavas. We don't mind that. But we take shelter in the system our Gurudev has given us. We don't concoct another thing, nor do we give up our Guru to go to some other place. If we do like that, then we won't get anything. We should take shelter of our Gurudev and follow his system. But anyway, he was telling the devotees, teaching them something about the Smarana. So he was telling them, okay, at this time of day, 4 o'clock in the morning, the gopis go and they wake up Radha and Krishna in the Kunj, and they do artik there. And Radha and Krishna go home, and Krishna takes a bath about 6 o'clock in the morning, and the cowherd boys are waiting outside for him. Hey, Kani, come, 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 come milk the cows and things. And then Krishna goes out and he has breakfast. And about 8 o'clock or something, Krishna goes to herd the cows in the forest. And he's describing different passings like that in the form of Krishna. So the next day, the devotees came and he's asking everyone, so how was your meditation? And one devotee was very, very sad. He said, I failed in my meditation. He said, I was thinking of Krishna's form, and in my meditation I was seeing Krishna's little finger. And I became so absorbed thinking of Krishna's little finger that I spent the whole day just thinking of Krishna's little finger. Just seeing Krishna's little finger. And that's all that I saw. So I'm very sorry, I didn't think of any of the pastimes of Krishna, this or that. Krishna Das Babaji, when he heard that, he told him, he is successful in his meditation. So that's the nature of Krishna. Krishna is completely relishable. Every little aspect of Krishna. There's a nice song by Rupa Goswami. He says it, Krishna, you're my deva. No one else is our deva. And he prays that mana mana samadukaram arpaya nijapada pankaja makarande. He says that may my mind become just like a bumblebee that's always going arpaya, please, offering. To the lotus feet, getting the nectar from your lotus feet. And he prays. He thinks that Krishna, he may reply to him. What is it you want from my feet? Don't you know that some requirement is there? It's a very high thing. And Rupa Goswami, he replies, yes, I know. Vidur, he's the controller of everything. He's Karta, Jagat Karta. He's the controller of the universe. He's Pitamaha. He's the grandfather of everyone. Even him in his trance of meditation, he can't even see the effulgence coming from your toenails. He says, but idam icchami nisamitava achyuta tadapi kripa bhuta nicham. Still, this is my desire. I want to see you. Goswami, then he hears Krishna saying, anyway, it's not so hard to get me. Bhakti mam bhajanati avanyas chasmi tatvataha. You can get me how?
By devotion.
By devotion, through bhakti. But Rupa Goswami, he says, bhakti rudanchati yadyapi madhava na twai mama tila matri. I don't even have tila matri. I don't even have a sesame seed of bhakti for you. I'm such a shameless fellow. He says, but this is still your Parameshvara, Parameshvarata, and tadapi tavadika durgata gatana vidatri. You can make the impossible possible. Because I want this thing. I want to relish the nectar coming from your lotus feet. This is the greatest thing. There's nothing better than this. And then Rupa Goswami, maybe in his mind's eye, he hears Krishna saying, anyway, what do you want with my feet? What's so special about them? So Rupa Goswami replies, I am Mami Gaura, Adyasanatana, Kalita Bhuta Rasavara. I am Mami Gaura, Adyasanatana, Kalita Bhuta He says, I am Avilola Tadya Sanatan. He addresses the Lord as Sanatan. You are eternal. You're always there. Your effects, your nectar is always eternal. He said that your lotus feet, Nivasatu Nityami Hamrita Nindani, they have this stuff they call Amrit. than the heavenly planets. But the nectar coming from your feet makes that become embarrassed, makes it be put to shame. Because that Amrit, you may take it and you'll live a fabulously long lifespan, but still you have to die. But the nectar of your lotus feet is such that if we drink that thing, then never again we'll take birth. So Rupa Goswami is teaching us in this song, the same thing as in this verse in Upadeshamrita, that we have to come to the point of relishing. But the problem is this avidya. We're so much in ignorance that we don't have any taste. Oh, it's very, very bitter. Very bitter. Very difficult. Gurudev, he told me I should chant 16 rounds. Very, very hard thing to do. I have so many other more important things to do. We have no taste for Krishna's name. We have taste for so many other activities. Especially, we like to take prasadam. And we like to hear some nice music. We like to hear some nice stories. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he said in one place that we have this kirtan because people don't have a taste for hearing Harikatha, but they like to hear some music. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said like that. So we sing some song and people go, oh, it's a very, very nice. It's a cultural thing. They become attracted. Or we should tell people in America, at the Sunday Feast program, we give some talk. And then we tell them, because they're all falling asleep or looking up, this and that. They're non-devotees. They have no taste for Harikatha. So then we would tell them that, and now for the part of our philosophy that's the easiest to digest, just prasadam. People like that very much. So Prabhupada said it's a kitchen religion. But this kind of taste that we're giving people will help them to give up this avidya, to give up this ignorance. So we should understand, what is it that's keeping us from becoming vexed? Because it's bhava mahagadavadi nivapanam. As soon as this fire of material existence is put out, then Prabhupada said this bhav comes. This happiness in Krishna consciousness, ruchi, this taste comes. So what's keeping us from that? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that it's naishalyam, or non-movement. He says there's five elements. This is not so important, just for your test or anything, but just for your information, for my purification. We can think about these things. These are very good things to think about in terms of our bhajan. There's five obstacles that are keeping us from becoming fixed in our bhajan. The first one is loya, sleep. It's a tendency to fall asleep. Some people, he says, fall asleep during their japa. A lot of people fall asleep during their japa. Does anybody here fall asleep during their japa? Sometimes. And he says other people, they fall asleep during smarana, when they're thinking about Krishna. Other people fall asleep during shravan, when they're hearing some harikatha, like in bhagavatam class or something. And he said there's some people who even fall asleep during kirtan. He said, so the disease is worst in this order, this progression. Those people who fall asleep during kirtan, they've got it really bad. The other ones who fall asleep during bhagavatam class, they've got it bad, but not as bad. And a little less is the ones who fall asleep during smarana, and the ones who are comparatively the best, the ones who fall asleep during japa. So this is loya. The second is vikshepa, distraction. Distractions for mundane topics while we're doing devotional service. Just like we're doing some japa. We see in so many different temples, the ladies are very good for this, I see too. They, during japa period, they come together and they have a certain place usually. It's always one place. I could go and find it here very quick at the temple. Someone could probably tell us. There's usually one place where they go to and they're kind of giving a hint. If somebody comes up and talks to me, it'd be very nice. So this is vikshapa. Vikshepa. Some distraction during our bhajan. We're not so absorbed. We like to gossip, we like to talk, we like to do other things during our seva. And the third one is apratipati, which means indifference or disinterest in spiritual topics. It's, even though sometimes Vishwanath says there's no loya or vikshepa, there's no sleepiness or no distraction going on, But still, we're not so interested in doing kirtan, in spite of that. Uh-huh. It's some disinterest or indifference in spiritual activities. That happens. Uh-huh. And the fourth one is kshaya. Kshaya is a tendency toward bad habits. The innate tendency to qualities like greed, anger, and pride. These things also keep us from going deep in our bhajan. Because our bhajan means that we should be chanting with our heart. And there's so many emotions and so many feelings that should be coming up. We should, this dainyabhav should be there. Ainandatamiju kinkaram patitamam vishamibhavam kripayatava parapampada stitaduli savisambhi chintaya. This is crying. My dear Lord, somehow I've fallen in this ocean of material existence. I don't know how to get out. You please pick me up and just put me as a grain of dust at your lotus feet. Your Mahaprabhu is not saying this in an academic kind of way. But this is something very deep from the heart. But these feelings won't come if we have sentiments like anger, greed, and pride within us. And that's kshaya. Rasasvad, the taste for material enjoyment. Means the inability to get absorbed in kirtan and seva, even if there's an opportunity, for some sense enjoyment. We want to do some kirtan, it's time to do kirtan, it's time to do japa. But our old friend just came in from South India, we haven't seen him in so long. It's time for japa, but we just want to sit down and talk with him. Or somebody comes with a big piece of cake, while we're chanting japa, and they say, Prabhuji, here, I have this very nice piece of cake. And we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Put the japa down and pick up the cake.
Yeah, this cake, because I know from temple, there was some beginner devotees like me, but they need some feeling affection, so sometimes they bring prasadam and I feel bad. If I reject, if I will artificially chant in the mind, I am outside, and some devotee came to me and say, oh, Prabhuji, you have time, and I say, no, I must chant, and in the mind, I always
pray. No, there's a third thing that we can do, and it went, oh, thank you very, very much, and we can take it and keep it, and then take it later on, or give it to another devotee.
Give it to that, yeah.
Give it to some other person. Give it to him. He should chant japa next to Martin. So that's how we can get a taste in Krishna consciousness. So, Vishnu says that nishita bhakti appears in the absence of these things. The effects appears that these five things are no longer there. And he describes as two types of nishta. Sakshat bhakti vartani. This is not, again, so important, but it has to do very much with Srila Prabhupada saying in his purport. And we're just speaking it for our benefit, for the benefit of our bhajan. Sakshat bhakti vartani means that we become fixed in things concerning bhakti. And he describes this in three divisions, kaiki, vaichiki and manasi, and bodily, vocally, and mentally. We become fixed with our body. Our body gets used to getting up in the morning. We have no problem with that. With vocally, we're chanting Krishna Nam, and mentally. And then he says the second type of nishta is bhakjanukula vashtra vartani, elements that are favorable to bhakti. And he gives example of humility, giving respect to others, friendliness and mercifulness. This is not directly bhakti, but it's bhakti anukul. These are things which are very favorable to bhakti. And some people, they become fixed. Initially, we become fixed in that thing for most people. Some others become fixed in the first one. But some become fixed in the second one first, and then they come to the platform of sakshat bhakti vartani. But this is also very, very helpful, that we can become fixed in a genuine way, in our humility, in our giving respect to other persons, and friendliness and mercifulness in a deep way. So Vishnu says that after this comes a platform of ruchi. We have some taste. Finally, when we're steady in our bhajan, and the anarthas are gone. When the anarthas are gone, then we become steady. And he says there's two types of ruchi. Vastu vaisishya pekshani and Vasti Vaisishya Anapekshani. The first one is dependent on the excellence of the elements. In other words, if one particular devotee is leading kirtan and he sings very, very nice, then we like that kirtan. But then when someone else goes up and they start singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, then we think, oh my God, what kind of kirtan is this? This is not a nice kirtan. They may have some ruchi, but it's ruchi which is dependent upon the excellence of the elements. If someone doesn't play kartals nicely, or mridanga or something, then we become annoyed with that. The first one, Vishwanath says, is because of some dosha bas, some slight impurity in the heart. Still something is there, some slight thing. The second one, that person gets great pleasure from shravanam and kirtan, even if the elements are not excellent. Even if the speaker of Harikatha is not so perfect. But he becomes ecstatic just hearing, because he has such ruchi, such a taste. Just hearing about Krishna, just hearing someone do kirtan. So these things are very high for us. We're not on that platform, but we should hear something about these things. Because this is the goal for the members of this Krishna conscious movement. There's a nice description by Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita about devotional service. Bhavanti sampatyudena yasya sada mahumata vichestitani Nayadvina sanjana yat sukham sa nava prakaratyapi mukunda bhakti. He says that when someone gets Krishna prema, they act like a mad person. And he says without that Krishna prema, the Navavidhi Bhakti, the ninefold process of devotional service, brings no happiness. And he gives an example. Yatahi soko lavanam vinayvakshudam vinabhogya chayo yatacha vinarta bodhai diva shastra patai falam vinaramagano yatayva. It's just like if you go and some devotee, they invite you to their home for a nice big feast. And the Mataji there, she cooked for hours and hours. And she made a very nice sabji, with nice cauliflower and potatoes. And she fried things in ghee and put some nice paneer in there. Very nice sabji. But there's no salt. No salt in the sabji, So, will you be able to enjoy that? No. It's such a nice thing. So many things are there, but you can't enjoy it. Where he says, you go to that feast, and she puts salt in it. And it's a big feast. There's 100 preparations. It was a surprise birthday party for you. But you go there, and you didn't know, and you just had a meal at your friend's house. He gave you some oatmeal and some dry bread. So your stomach is full. So then you go, and they're having a big feast for you. Can you enjoy it? You can't enjoy that thing. Well, he says, scriptural study without understanding. You memorize so many verses and things, but you don't understand them. What's the benefit? Or orchards. You work so very hard planting the trees and watering them and keeping out the insects, but there's no fruit. So Sanatana Goswami says that Navavidhi Bhakti, these things with no ruchi, with no taste, they're just like these things. So we should get some taste. And this is a very important thing. This is the purpose for this Krishna conscious movement. Prabhupada says, so many people have so many tastes, they have so many things that they want to enjoy. But the purpose of this Krishna conscious movement is to get people to chant Hare Krishna, to give them happiness. Prabhupada says, we simply want to see people happy. That's our purpose. So you should understand, this is a service. And just as Srimati Radhika, she's the best devotee of Krishna. And what is it that makes her the best devotee? It's her relishment. So also this is what makes us, will make you the best devotee. If you can relish. Not just distributing the most books, or jumping the highest in kirtan, or doing 24-hour kirtan for 3 days without stopping, or chanting the most rounds, and this thing, but having the most taste for those things. If we don't have taste for those things, then we can't continue to engage in those activities. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that in the beginning of spiritual life, We have to have some faith. But that faith is not enough. We also have to have an example. We also have to have some sadhu sangha. He says, but even that sadhu sangha and that faith, that's also not enough for people to be steady. He says, we see sometimes people, they come to the temple. We've all seen people like this. They believe that Krishna's God. They have faith. And they're even having some association with the devotees. But they can't practice Krishna consciousness. They can't take to the chanting of the holy names. Why is that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, because they don't have ruchi. They don't have taste. He said, this ruchi is most important. He said, this ruchi is even found in karma and gyan. This ruchi, he says, comes from bhakti. He said, whatever ruchi is there in karma and gyan comes from bhakti. If you're doing some karma, you may be giving up the activities, you're doing some work for the temple or something. You're not really a devotee, but you're doing something for the temple. You get some pleasure from that because some bhakti is there in that. Or maybe you're doing some gyan, you're studying the shastras and you're chanting Purusha Shukta. But there's some pleasure in there because some of the names of Krishna are in the prayer and you're getting some relishment because of that. So that ruchi, even in karma and gyan, Bhaktivinoda says, comes from bhakti. So we have to have some ruchi. And that ruchi comes if we apply ourselves day after day with patience. But Prabhupada says in the purport, despite this disease, if one with great care and attention, Prabhupada says these two things, with great care and great attention, takes to Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy name and hearing Krishna's pastimes, his ignorance will be destroyed, his tongue enabled to taste the sweetness of the transcendental nature of Krishna and his paraphernalia. He also mentions chanting the holy name and hearing Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Because we should hear also. It's not enough just to chant. It is enough. But on our platform, we should also hear. And therefore, what we described before, this is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's nam-mahima. It's glorification of the holy name. If we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about how kind Krishna is to Putana. If we hear about how Krishna was bound up by ropes by Mother Yashoda, and he rubbed his eyes again and again, and he cried. We can picture that in our heart. It's a very, very sweet thing. And then when we chant Krishna's name, we can think of that. It gives us some thought, some understanding of who Krishna is. Without that, it can be a little dry for us. Nevertheless, if you continue to chant Krishna Nam, just as we gave the example yesterday of Valmiki Muni, he didn't understand who Ram was. In fact, Lord Ramachandra hadn't even appeared yet. And Valmiki Muni saw all the pastimes of Ramachandra in his heart by chanting Ram Nam. It hadn't even taken place yet. He wrote Ramayana before everything took place. He saw those things in his heart. So the holy name alone can give everything. But to jumpstart it, just like we used to live in the country in Illinois, in America, we grew up with a well. We had to get all of our water from a well. And sometimes you can't get any water out of it. You pump and pump and no water comes out. So what you do, in English we call it priming the well. You take a little water and you pour it into the well. And by pouring that water into the well, then more water comes out. So this is something like priming our japa. Prabhupada was saying it. We hear about Krishna's pastimes and we can become attracted to Krishna. Chanting the holy names will give everything. But we should also hear, and especially want to hear from devotees. And especially we'd like to hear from devotees who have some taste. And the symptom of that is that they've given up their taste in other things. And in particular, Rupa Goswami says Nindari Shunya Ritman Ipsita Sangalabhya. We want that association of that devotee whose heart is free from the propensity to criticize others. When we talk about Gramikata, with Gramikata material topics, always this thing is there. Criticism of others, wanting to be the best. But a pure devotee, Uttamadhikari, doesn't have that, and he can relish the most. So we want to hear from such a person, right? And then we'll get some Muji like that. Okay? So this is something of this verse in Upadesha. I mean, there's so many, many things can be said about this. Many wonderful things. Actually, we were speaking with Mother Prasanta yesterday. My wife was telling me that we should have Upadeshamrita class for Bhakti Shashin. We should also have it for Bhakti Vibhav. And she said, actually, Prabhupada said that Upadeshamrita we should have for Bhakti Shastri and for Bhakti Vedanta. Again, same book, but we're going into it very, very much deeper. Right? So we're just speaking a few things for our benefit here. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gogoswami Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Upadeshamrita ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vinanda ki jai, Gop Premanandi Vinanda. Pancha Kapa Guru Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Deva Cha Patitanam Pavanam. So it's late, I'm sorry, it's 6 o'clock. If anybody wants to go, go. If there's any questions or anything, you can also ask.
This is on the text 7.
Yes. So her question is that she's asking how we said that namabhas also means namaparad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes as two types of namabhas: chaya namabhas and pratibimba namabhas. Pratibimba is a reflection and chaya means a shadow. We said something about this in one of our earlier classes. I can just go over it again briefly. Pratibimba means a reflection, and that's the chanting, the namabhas of the mayavadis or the offenders, the atheists, like that. Although it may look good, they look good. Sometimes the mayavadis, they look like real good sadhus because they're sannyasis, they're celibate, they've given up the world. And a devotee may not look so good. A devotee may be a grihastha, right? They may not be so renounced and things. They may be addicted to sense gratification. But that's chayanamabhas. Chayanamabhas is when someone can't follow the principles properly, and that because this avidya hasn't gone away yet, because the rays of the holy name are still being obscured by anartas. But those rays are going away. And that type of bhakti is chaya bhakti. It's chayanamabhas. It's like a shadow. And the difference between a shadow and a reflection looks very good. If you compare a shadow to a reflection, a shadow is just gray, doesn't look like much of anything. In the reflection, you can see so many nice, clear things. But the difference is there's no connection. The shadow is connected to the tree. The tree looks more clear in the water, in the reflection in the water, but there's actually no connection between the two. So he says that pratibimba namabhas actually is not even namabhas, it's namaparad. It's not bhakti. It's just an offense. Is that okay?
Yes. So we want to give result as namabhas, please.
Namaparada yuktanam naman yeva haranti gama vishanti pa yuktani tanivet dharani cha. Padmaprana says that even if you're doing namaparada, if you go on chanting, definitely there's always benefit there. But it may take a long time. It may take a long, long time, especially if someone's doing Vaishnava parada. But sooner or later there'll be some benefit for them. Anything else you say? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that this pramada nama parad is the cause of other aparads. He also says it about nambuli papuli, thinking with his body. But this thing, if we are negligent, especially if we purposely are negligent, this kasaya, is that we have no real interest in chanting the holy name, then because of that, we are inattentive. And if that inattentiveness may come so many other offenses, we may consider that the holy name, Dharma Bratta Tyaga Hutari Sava Subha Kriya Samampi Pamadaha, we may consider that the holy name is just some Subha Karma because we lose taste for it. We may even criticize the devotees, we may neglect the instructions of our guru. He says, but on the other hand, if we simply pay attention to the holy name, then everything will come. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur even gives kind of a mechanical way to do that. He says you can, for some period, different devotees have different things. Generally, it's recommended to chant in association with other devotees. That helps us, especially the devotees are chanting and not talking and gossiping. But if they're sitting and chanting, then that gives you some encouragement. Bhaktivinoda also says sometimes someone may, for a short time, sit by themselves in some place and chant, and they may put a cloth over their head. Because that is kind of a mechanical thing, because it covers out everything. But still, one thing stays underneath the cloth, I've found. It's very difficult. Our mind. I try to tell him, look, you stay outside. But he never does. He doesn't listen to me. Still, he follows me. He's such a rascal. He causes me so much trouble. So Bhaktivinoda says that if we can simply pay attention to the holy name. Brijam Prabhu is such a nice thing. Sometimes he gives some of his japa retreats and things. He says, so we can try, we can practice just hearing one mantra. We're chanting 108 mantras. We just tell our mind, sometimes our mind thinks, oh my God, I just can't do it. It's just too hard, it's just too much to chant all this. And then we get in a kind of mode like that where we don't pay attention. We just tell our mind, look mind, it's okay. You don't have to listen to all the mantras. Just one mantra. You please just cooperate just for a few minutes. Just listen to one mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That wasn't so bad, was it? No? Let's try again. One more mantra. And we try to do that. We try to focus. Just tell our mind, look, just let me focus on this one thing. And then we can try one round. Let me just try to chant one round. One whole round underneath mantras attentively. And it'll help us. And the Prabhupada says with great care and attention this thing will come. But it means that we have to put some endeavor into it. Utsaha, nishchaya, dharya. These three things have to be there. Enthusiasm, confidence, and patience. If we don't have those three things, we won't get the proper result. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur it gives a very nice clue, if I can find it. In Manas Samharanam, Sochan, Nonam Mantranta Chintanam, Avigatam Anirvedo, Japa Sampati Hetam. I think that's the verse. He says it he quotes this verse in his Bhajan Rahasya. He says that being attentive. To be attentive, purification of the heart is required. If we're always listening to the television and reading the newspapers and reading novels and watching movies and things, our heart won't be purified. It will be so much disturbed. We can't be attentive. So to be attentive, purification of the heart is required. He says this means keeping silence. Silence means avoiding unfavorable talking. While chanting, one must affectionately remember the meaning of the mantra. And he says that steadiness, patience, and attachment to chanting are the treasures of chanting. Steadiness, patience, and attachment to chanting are the treasures of chanting. So those things will help us. But we should be enthusiastic in everything else. So if you want to be a great tennis player, it means you're going to have to spend years and years of your life and work so hard. If you want to be any kind of sport, any kind of intellectual activity, we have to put so much effort. We should also be ready to put so much effort into the holy name. And if we do that, we'll see Krishna promises, Yayatam mam prapadyate tam satyaga bhajamyam. And he says, Dadami buddhi yogam tam. I'll give you intelligence. Bhajatam priti purvakam. If you do bhajam with priti, affection. We don't know affection. But affection also means bhakti e Krishna nama. It means Krishna Nam. Krishna Nam in and of itself is affection. If we chant that mantra that our Gurudev gave us, that's also Bhajatam Pratipurvakam. And Krishna will give us intelligence. But we should try. We should work at it. There's one last thing we can say. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, my Guru Maharaj used to quote this verse very often. Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Dhamma, Bhakti Bhakti Yoga is the greatest wealth. And three times he says that. Right? And what is Bhakti? Bhakti e Krishna Nama. Bhakti is Krishna Nama. But smarana krandana, remembering Krishna. We should read Krishna book. Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada said these things are very, very high, this smarana and thinking of Radha Krishna is a very, very high thing. But Prabhupada also said every person in the whole world should get a Krishna book in their house. And Prabhupada wanted them to read it. Prabhupada wanted all the devotees to read Krishna book every night, which includes Rasleela and so many different pastimes. So when we chant, we should think about who, with the meaning of this mantra, who is this Krishna fellow? Smarana and Krandana. We should cry. Prabhupada said that when he first gave a definition of the Maha Mantra. He said this chanting is exactly like the cry of a small child for the mother. Hurrah. And he said in an extra of devotion that if we learn this art of crying for Krishna, then we can make advancement very quickly. And we're not crying for Krishna like the Goswamis are crying, Hey Radhe, Bhajade, Nikhe, Chalalite, Hey Nandasuno Kuto. We're not like that. We're crying because, oh Krishna, I'm so unhappy, I've been married 8 times. And I just got married for the 9th time and now my wife left me again. Oh, so cry. But cry for Krishna. Don't cry for Maya. We should take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise we're Durashraya. We're just taking shelter of this material world. Right? Wife number 9, wife number 10, wife number 20. You just spend your whole life crying. Is that okay, Madhuji? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry. You said there are the root of all offenses is inattentive chanting and was it avidya?
Nam bolipa buddhi. No, not bolipa buddhi. Excuse me, thinking on this body. What's the phrase for that? It's not coming to my mind. Aham mama bhav. Thinking that I'm this body. Aham mama bhav. That's the root of everything. Again, Prabhupada says that in this purport, avidya, ignorance. And the root of that ignorance is our misconception. He said that in that ignorance, that causes us to have this ahankar, this false ego. So that comes from this thinking that this is me, this body. Okay? Thank you very much. So tomorrow we'll do texts 8 and 9. I'm really not so much... I'm trying to be a good teacher for all of you. I'm not a very good teacher. We're just trying to learn these things together. But anyway, please read texts 8 and 9 tonight and bring all these handouts that we gave out.